Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. What's going on, peoples? Hey, thanks for joining us again. You know what this is, yo. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We back again this week. We got another good show for you people out there. So thanks for tuning in. So what we're going to be talking about today, we're actually going to touch back on parenting, man. We talked about parenting a few weeks ago. We're going to touch back on it. We actually did a couple episodes on parenting, fatherhood, stuff like that. At some point, we're going to get some women on the show, and we're going to get their perspective on some parenting tips, things that work for them, things that didn't, stuff to look out for. But in today's show, we're gonna bring another dude on the show. We got Dr. John McMillan on the show again. And we're going to talk about, like I said, things related to parenting, his perspective on parenting, fatherhood, the whole nine, man. We're going to just kick it like we do on the show. We're going to bring practical advice for everyday people. Nothing grandiose, nothing over the top that the average man couldn't conquer or the average woman couldn't conquer him or herself. And we're going to just educate each other, man. I'm gonna throw my 2 cents in, you know. Last time we had Steve on the show and I talked about different parenting styles, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to bring those back up and we're going to just keep going, man. So listen, I'm going to jump off real quick. Like I said, we're talking about parenting, fatherhood, the whole shebang in regards to that. We're going to just chop it up like we do on the show. So give me a minute. I'm going to come back with these quick definitions and then we're going to get to it. You feel me? So in a minute, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Check y'all in a minute. All right, y'all, we back. Thanks for joining me again. We here, man. So if you missed the intro, we're talking about parenting again. We're going to run this thing because it's a lot of good people out here who need help with this situation. Also, there's just a lot of people out here who are new parents who are trying to figure it out and some pointers would help them, you know, along the way with their journey. All sorts of stuff, man. Some people just like to hear other people's tips. And even if they don't implement them, it may be something they could share with somebody else. So that's why we're going to kick it some more about parenting. This is parenting 101, 102, 504, doesn't really matter, but we're kicking it. So one type of parenting style that I mentioned a little while back on a previous show is high conflict. That type of parenting is as it sounds. The two parents involved, they differ a lot in their opinions on how the child should be raised. And here comes the conflict. It could be simple stuff that they beef over that, you know, some for somebody else, it may be real simple. But either way, high conflict, they can't see things on the same page, they don't see eye to eye, and sometimes they might even come to arguments and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, they probably do because that's part of the whole conflict itself. So that's one type of parenting. And then we got another type of parenting, which is, we talked about it before on the show, like I said, parallel parenting. This type of technique is when both parents, they have their own cribs, they live separately, and the child they have in between vacillates between one person's crib to the other person's house. And the rules of each house don't interfere with the other one. So if you think about the word parallel, parallel lines, they don't intersect. So it's the same sort of concept. One thing that's allowed at one parent's house may or may not be allowed at the other parent's house. But either way, it's just up to the discretion of each parent in the place where that child lives at. So again, you got parallel parenting. That's another technique. And lastly, as stated on the show from a couple weeks ago, the one we'll talk about again is cooperative and collaborative co-parenting. And in that one, it sounds just like it is, man. The parents come together, even though they live separately, They work together as a team to come to the best interest of the kid, whatever that may be, schooling, college, football games, food, whatever it may be. They work together as a team, knowing that the best interest of their kid is all that matters. So they put their differences aside and they make things shake. So we got those out the way. So now we're going to get to the other part, man. We're going to just talk about, like I said, different ways Dr. McMillan works with his children and see what we could get from it, man. A lot of times people get experience and ideas from other people and what they do. And maybe they tweak it and make it work for themselves. So that's what we're here for. So for all you new parents out there, you know, you might be able to take something from this and run with it. And for the people who are already parents and doing your thing, same sort of idea, man. You might find something in this show that you could take and tweak what you're already doing, implement it, and come out of the situation better. Holla at your boy. We're going to talk about it in a minute. We're going to get Dr. McMillan on the show. We're going to bring him on, and we're going to get to it, y'all. So be back with us in a minute. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, good people, we're back from that break. Hope you continue to stay with us. Like I said before I left, we're talking about co-parenting. We're talking about fatherhood. We got Dr. John McMillan on the show. And we're going to just touch on whatever we touch on, man, in regards to being a father and from his perspective, what it means to him, the whole nine. And we're going to give some strategies that work for him in his situation. And maybe the people out there, you new parents, or even an old parent, like I said a second ago, maybe something he says you could use in your household and maybe to get you right. Here we go, though. So, Dr. McMillan, we on the show. Say something to the people, man.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Great to get the opportunity to talk to everybody again and just keep this conversation going. Keep this conversation about all of these aspects of life going. We're in some difficult times and people need guidance, so I'm just glad you're using your platform to educate the people and inform the people. So thank y'all for having me back.
All right. And I just want to touch on that, man. We're in difficult times, man. And I'll let you, if you touch on this after I get to it, that's what it is. I think before we get to the parenting aspect, we are in difficult times. And that's why this podcast is important and the other ones just like it. We're in difficult times because it just seems like today's youth are under attack from many different ways, man. So, you know, obviously social media, music, just outside exterior forces on our children. So it's just good that we're talking about this because they are under attack. It's a lot going on. So anybody raising a kid out there, you know, some of the things we talk about today may help you get right. So bang, Doc, we got you on the show, man. And we thank you for being here as always. So let's just talk, man. Since we're talking about fatherhood, parenting from your perspective, before we do anything, we do definitions on this show, and we live by them on the show. So before we get to it, we're going to start with you. What does fatherhood, or we'll go fatherhood. Since you're a father, what does fatherhood mean to you?
Fatherhood to me is the opportunity to give an individual, a well-adjusted individual, to society. It's your opportunity to make a contribution to your community, to your world, to everything in the form of a child. I'll never forget that when I had my son, somebody said, "You're immortalized now," meaning that's somebody to carry on your legacy, your name, your history, your lineage. So that's what fatherhood is. It's just that opportunity to do that.
Word. Hey, listen. I dissect what people say on the show. It's important what you said, man. Fatherhood isn't just I got a son or I got a daughter and I'm going to give them whatever they want. And that's that. What you said about somebody basically is productive, that's going to play a part in society, give back to the community, you know, those sorts of things, man, which is a lot of times it seems like we're lacking that because a lot of young black youth are just out here in the streets and they're not raised to be, I guess, valuable members of their neighborhoods or communities. It seems like they're just raised to be for self. So I appreciate you saying that, man.
I appreciate that, man. And you're exactly right. It seems like a lot of times we're creating these kids to receive. And if you really think about it from a religious standpoint, it's like God made Jesus so that he could serve.
Yeah.
So, in essence, you should have that same mindset of creating someone that's going to move things forward. Like those who in the past did for you. So, you know, that's more philosophical, but definitely a way to look at it.
Hey, yeah, I mean, shucks, what you're saying is better than somebody who thinks that society should serve them. Because if you're waiting around for society to serve you, that means that you're a leech. You're going to take, and never give.
Exactly.
And if we're going to come up as a people, that can't be the way that we're brought up or the way we think. We can't think of give me, give me, give me. No, we should be in the mindset of service. Because if you're serving yourself, you're serving your family, that trickles down or up to your community and your people. So you should be in the idea of services. That's profound, man. And we need to hear more of that. All right, Doc. So we're gonna keep going, man. No break right now. We're going to just keep going. So just to put things in perspective for the show and for the listeners, before we get to it all, man, so would you mind telling us the number of kids you got in their age ranges?
Sure. I have 5 kids. I have a 28-year-old daughter. I have a 22-year-old son. I have an 18-year-old daughter, 17-year-old son, and a 16-year-old daughter. So that's 5 total.
Cool.
Wide range of different young people. And so my parenting style has to vary.
All right, cool. So, all right, well, bang. All right, so it has to vary. So before we get to how it varies, why does it have to vary between those age ranges?
You know, when you're dealing with raising kids, you have to parent to the needs of your children. Every child needs something different. So as a parent, you have to be astute enough to know what your children need. You have to communicate. You have to talk. You have to observe. Parenting is a job. Which is why it's so difficult for some people, is because it starts when they're young, mm-hmm. and it never ends until you leave or until they leave. So it's difficult. And so that's why that parenting has to vary each individual child.
All right. So bang. Now, all right. So with that being said, then all right. So you said it varies. So does it vary by age or gender?
It generally, for me, it varies. Based on the individual child.
Okay.
Some people may say, girls need this, boys need that. You may have 2 girls who have totally different needs. They're driven in different ways. So you have to adjust your parenting to engage that. And that just comes from building those relationships, observing, paying attention, and then enforcing whatever needs to be done as a parent.
All right.
So you have to parent with specificity, if you will.
Yeah. All right, I like that. So listen, that's some game right there. So anybody listening, if you know, it may not work for you, it may work for you, but it sounds like per each child, you know, you might have to do something different. So you can't be stuck in, I guess, your ways and with a one size fits all approach to parenting.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Saying boys do this and girls do that. Especially in this day and time where young people are bombarded by so much that they may take on personas that don't even come from you. They may see something on social media and say, hey, I want to be that. And as a parent, you have to adjust to that.
Yeah. And man, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking about my situation, my family and my growing up experience. My mom raised 4 kids, me, my 2 brothers and my sister. I was the youngest. And man, she didn't vary in her style. It was, I mean, across the board, it was just like, listen, this is what I said, and this is what it is. As far as, she was real militant, man. She was militant for the most part, but she was definitely very compassionate. But wow. you knew where she was coming from, man. She didn't mind putting her hands on you if that's what had to happen. But she'll give you a stern conversation if that's what had to happen. But you definitely knew where she was coming from, and her message was absolute crystal clear on what she wanted to happen. So,
come on, man.
Yeah, man. It was a one size fits all, man. And I think the times were different, and children were even seemingly different from what I'm seeing now, the way I was, my siblings and other kids versus what I see now. We were built for that parenting style.
Come on, man.
Because if you think about, let's just say we're going to just take it back to slavery or even after, you know, civil rights movement sort of times. If the parent gave a message, you needed to follow those directions to the T, because not following those directions to the T could cost you your life.
Get you jammed up. Get the family jammed up.
Right. Absolutely.
We all jammed up because of you.
No doubt. So there was no room for wavering in what the direction was. And I'm gonna jump out the window a little bit, but we'll bring it back. I think about the story of Emmett Till.
Come on, man.
You know, Emmett Till was from Chicago.
Man.
You know, he was what he was and was what it was. So Chicago at the time, you know, racism still existed up there in Chicago, but...
Already.
But of course it wasn't as severe as it was in the South. And depending on where Emmett Till was at, age-wise and whatever he was schooled on, you know, he came down South... And he whistled at, as they say, he whistled at the lady or made a comment, whatever it is. And he paid the ultimate price. Absolutely. So, like you said, he could have got jammed up, and he did, but it could have been his family as well. Because they went to the family house.
Come on.
And anything could have happened at that family house.
Come on, man.
So they just got lucky that it went the way it was. Well, not lucky in his regard, if you feel me, but it definitely could have meant something real severe for everybody else.
There's no doubt.
So definitely, man. All right, so let's talk some more about... In fact, we're going to take a break, man. Let's take a break. And we're going to come back, everybody. We got to pay some bills, man. So we're going to be back in a second. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We got Dr. John McMillan on the show. We'll be back in a minute. Once again, it's on. We're back. We're still here. We got the good Dr. John McMillan on the show still. And before we went to break, I just was mentioning the type of household I was brought up in and potentially how it helped me out. You know what I'm saying? I'm here. So was brought up in a single parent household. Pop Dukes was absent, non-existent. We won't go too far on that, but that's what that was. So anyway, so Dr. McMillan, so real quick, what was the type of household you grew up in?
I grew up into a similar household. Single parent mother who had five kids of her own, and her parenting style was very one-sided, and it made sense because she was the one who was the sole provider. Her directives, that was law,
right?
And it was law because she had to make sure we were protected, educated, and provided for. And she didn't have much margin for error because when you messed up, recovery was too hard. So she laid down directives and we followed them, and that was it. And I'm cut from the same cloth. And so that's kind of give you some background on how I was brought up.
Yeah. That sounds pretty similar to what I had going on, me and my siblings. It definitely wasn't room for error. And like you said, that mistake, that misstep could be extremely costful and harmful to my mom, her siblings, me, you know, my siblings, I should say. And, you know, it's just what it was. So similar, same thing. My mom was in charge of everything. She had to feed us, clothe us, bathe us, the whole nine. So definitely that's what was going on in my household, too. All right. So with that being said, man, it sounds like, obviously it's apparent you're in your children's lives, which is a step up from where you came from. So kudos to you on that, just from changing the generational curses that we tend to have. So I appreciate you on that. So, you know, all right. So now with that being said, man, your children are growing up in a two-parent household currently.
That's correct.
All right. So So you said a minute ago, just like my testimony, you said your mom had to provide for everything. She was the provider, the protector, the whole nine. So now you get to share that load, that burden, that responsibility, whatever term a person cares to use to describe it. You get to share that. So just with you right now, from what you see through your eyes, and just for anybody listening, you might glean something from this. Doc, tell us, what is your job as the father of your children?
My job as a father of my children is to pet them, P-E-P.
Okay.
One, I have to provide. And when we talk about providing, I mean money/resources.
Mm.
Really, in my opinion, sometimes, I feel that money/resources, that provider role, is almost greater than just the love role. Meaning that in order to show my love, I have to provide.
Right.
When you just have a lot of love without providing, it's kind of empty. I can love you, but we ain't got no place to stay. Or I love you, but we don't have any food. I love you. I don't have medical care for you. So that providing aspect is extremely, extremely important. A lot of people try to underplay it. It's not just about money. In this society where I live, money plays a very dominant role. It's not the only role.
Right.
But it's the means by which you elevate and push your family forward. It's the way you show that love a lot of times. And that doesn't mean I'm just lavishing you,
mm-hmm.
but providing those fundamental elements that you can stand on to make yourself better. When I watch Paternity Court, which I watch a lot of,
okay,
when these kids finally realize that, yes, this man indeed is my father, and you've just been avoiding your responsibilities, the first thing they say is, you ain't did nothing for us.
Yeah.
That's since you didn't provide those resources, that money that we needed. My mama had to do it all.
Right.
It blessed her. So that providing role is very, very, very important. The second thing I do as a parent is educate. And when I say educate, I'm not just talking about books and academics. I'm talking about educating these young people in the ways of the world. And how to conduct yourself and how to grow, how to protect yourself, how to be a person in this world. So many of our kids, how to make good decisions.
That's right.
You know, some of our kids, I work with kids all day. They don't have the wherewithal or the well to draw from to make the proper decisions and often have to learn things the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And it has that educator. So that's what I mean. And kind of go back to the Paternity Court thing. Some of those kids will say once they find out is a lot of the mistakes I made was because I didn't have the proper guidance from a father standpoint. Those young ladies will talk about not having chosen the right person because I never had a role model to develop my ideal man from.
Yeah.
So it's important to provide that education. And then the last thing, of course, is to protect. It's my job to protect you. Sometimes to protect you from yourself, protect you from the world, to teach you how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So that's my function as a father. That's the guidelines by which I guide my fatherhood.
All right. I got a question. You said, what's one example of, you said protect your kid from him or herself. What is an example of that, just for somebody who might be listening and not quite clear on what you mean by that?
Exactly. Just kids, because they're immature, make bad decisions. There have been students who have, and this is a little bit on the sad side, who have attempted suicide because a girlfriend or a boyfriend has broken up with them. As a parent, as a role model, you come in and you say, hey, listen, I know you love that person, but I promise you, if we can weather this storm right here, you're going to have so many girlfriends and boyfriends in the future that you're going to laugh at yourself for thinking that this individual was so important.
Right.
So I'm going to protect you from yourself and educate you on the fact that you need to make a better decision now to spare yourself later. You know, so that's how you protect a kid from him or herself, because they're immature. They need your guidance. But just by providing that guidance, you're protecting them from their immaturity.
All right. Hey, listen, everybody out there listening, you hear what he's saying. I'm listening. I'm learning. So peep game. I want to touch back, man. I did a show yesterday. Yesterday's show was talking about maladaptive behaviors. And one of the things I touched on in last week's show, or yesterday's show, I'm sorry, I made mention of a breakup, because I used it. Are you familiar with the movie Thin Line Between Love and Hate?
I most definitely am. One of my favorite movies.
Cool. So, bang, I was speaking on how Lynn Whitfield's character and Martin Lawrence's character, you know, they got into the relationship and Martin did it dirty, and then she ended up, you know, kidnapping him, shooting him, the whole nine. And one of the things I was talking about is how people need to learn how to cope with certain traumas, because that'll keep you from doing something that's going to harm you long term. And I made mention of a high school breakup and how short term it is. So don't turn that short term breakup into something long term that affects you 20 years down the road. So you mentioning that right there just brought me back to yesterday, because that was just the show. So it's definitely some fruit in what you just said, man. So I appreciate that. And I want to touch on what you said about, you know, you said, you know, guiding your kids because they don't know and they'll make mistakes and you got to teach them. So bang, I just thought about the first time I ever drove a car. I had quote unquote seen a car driven before. I saw my mom drive a car, my aunt, saw my brother, saw Joker driving cars on TV shows. I didn't myself know how to drive a car. So when I got behind the wheel, and I was technically driving the car because, you know, I was able to put it in drive and my mom sitting in the passenger seat and I'm driving, but I don't know how to drive. So I say that to relate it back to what you're saying, man. My mom had to teach me how to drive.
That's right.
She had to train me on how to use that rear view mirror, that blinker. Be aware of your surroundings at all times, son.
That's right.
And that's how you become a driver, a good driver. Now, will I hit something one day? You know how that go. We get into accidents. It happens. But she equipped me with the skills to be able to drive the car to a proficient level.
That's right.
So what you said about, you know, giving your kids the knowledge and just giving them the game, it's the same thing, man. You obviously you can't live the life for them, but you got to give them what you can to allow them to make good decisions and put themselves in the right place at the right time. So like I said, I love what you're saying, man. You're talking good stuff. Anybody out there, listen, because he's spitting, he teaching us. And you said about providing, man. Like I said, I'm touching back on everything you said. And I think about an old school pops. We basically around the times when maybe Mom Dukes didn't have a job. You know, those times where women didn't have a place in the workplace.
Gotcha.
So, you know, the father was the breadwinner. And we knew how important that was. He would go to work, most cases, unfortunately, hard work too. He at the factory, the warehouse, he getting it in. Yo, when he came back to the crib, payday, he just gave his lady the check. Because even back then, they knew how important those finances were. So, bang, we need the finances that he's bringing home. And then his wife or his mate, she handled the other stuff and they brought it all together. But they definitely knew the finances were important to make the thing work. So just touching back on what you said about the finances, the resources, food, protection, you know, all that good stuff. So, man, we love what you're talking about. So listen, y'all, we're going to dip for a minute and we're going to come back and we're going to just keep talking. Parenting skills, necessities, all that good stuff. Give us a minute, y'all. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, everybody, thanks again. As I always say, we back. We still just chopping it up, trying to learn something about parenting and whatever else we talking about. Skills just to work, just to help yourself out with your family, man. Maybe help you be a better person outside of the fam. Who knows? But we just talking. So, Doc, you know, we went to break. We were just talking about some things, how parenting skills work for you. So I'm going to ask you this, man. Let's say you're at your house and you get word that your kid did something that maybe he or she wasn't supposed to do. Now, sometimes, you know, it's the time to be firm, I guess, because my mom was this way. You know, sometimes it was the time to be firm and hit drop the hammer, as they call it. And then other times you come in, I guess, maybe lean or the diplomat. One thing is, has there been times where you had to be the firm one or the diplomat? And then two, how do you know when to come in as the enforcer or the diplomat? How do you know?
There's definitely been times where I've had to be more firm. It just depends on the child, of course, and the temperament and the mentality of the child, because they all, just like I said before, different kids need different things. So you have to take that into consideration. But you also have to take the severity of the situation.
Mm.
Some situations require more. If the police show up at my door, that's probably one of those severe situations.
Right.
So you just have to not use that cookie cutter approach of one size fits all. And sometimes you may have to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to be the bad guy to make things good with you. So it's just, you know, it just varies. You have to be a flexible parent.
Right.
You have to have differentiated style when you engage your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for each individual kid. You know, you may have to monitor and adjust each individual situation for each individual kid. You may have to, for one situation, apply two different punishments depending on the kid.
Right.
You know, I know there were certain things, like when I was coming up, man, you could whip us to the cows came.
Definitely.
It didn't matter.
Definitely.
We were tough.
Right.
What we didn't like was being on punishment in the room.
Of course.
You know, I couldn't play, so an uneducated parent makes they just beat them. No, that would have done nothing for me.
Right.
I'd take that whipping. But you put me in the room for a week,
mm-hmm.
that was death row. So you just have to know your kids, know the circumstances, and be fair. Be fair to what punishment goes with what infraction, and you'll roll.
Cool. All right, y'all listening, man. Monitor and adjust. Differentiated parent styles, man. And I guess, like I said, the house I grew up in, it was only one parenting style. So I never really thought about differentiated parenting, you know, styles. I think about the classroom, and what you're saying is it makes great sense. Obviously, in the classroom, a lot of times, especially these days, there's even back in the day, there's a hodgepodge of different kids in the class, personality-wise, and then even ability-wise. So everybody out there, I'm just going to give y'all 2 cents anyway. You know, something called differentiated instruction. You know, you had to meet every kid where he or she was at and then do your thing, you know, work your mojo. So you got to do the same thing in the household is what I'm hearing. It's not a one size fits all. It's not a cookie cutter approach. All right. So let me ask you this, just a blanket statement question. Is it easier to parent girls or boys for you? Or what you think?
That's a great question. And maybe I'm biased in this regard. But for me, it just appears that boys are easier for me.
Yeah.
And see, that's where you have to have knowledge yourself, understanding who you are. When you're four, and that's why it takes two, because there's some things you may have to let the other person engage,
right?
Because you may be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know yourself, have knowledge yourself, and say, what is the best way for me to approach this? Sometimes we have childhood trauma that affects our parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why you just have to be enlightened, educated in who you are, knowing, hey, you know what? I feel my head getting hot already.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, you are a more patient one than I. I'm going to let you handle it, and then you debrief with me.
Right.
And then we'll decide if what you prescribed is the best thing to provide, because you may have to go back and re-engage if what you're putting forth is not enough.
That's
or
right.
It may be vice versa, where mom may have to come and say, hey, let's go talk for a minute and say, hey, I think you're being a little too hard.
Right.
You know, so that's where that teamwork, that partnership, and everything comes into play, man. That education, knowledge of self, knowledge of your family, just being learned about what you have going on.
That's right. Hey, so before you came on to the show, man, that gave an example of different type of parenting styles, man. And I was talking about cooperative and collaborative parenting. And basically what you just said is that, you know, sitting down with each other, politicking, what's the best for the kid? How can we make this thing work? And I was speaking in terms of two parents that weren't together, like in the same household. But either way, it's still collaboration and cooperative anyway. So that's love, man. And actually, that's one of the most, you know, beneficial type of parenting styles to the student or child anyway. So good biz.
And one more thing.
All right.
Even if you're in a single parent household, you can still collaborate. You may have to reach out to your brother and say, hey, man, this boy has done this.
Mm-hmm.
What you thinking? What? How should I engage that? Or you may have to call grandma. You may have to call a neighbor to get some perspective on what you have going on. So for those single parents out there, don't be discouraged. Use your resources.
Yeah.
Use your resources, and you can still collaborate on the upbringing of your child, because remember, it takes a village.
Definitely on the village. We need more of it, because it seems like everybody's operating in silos and nobody can say anything to my child and vice versa. And if you do,
man.
Oh,
man.
I'm going to bring the wrath of whoever on you. So we definitely don't want it like that. So good, man. So you said it's easy. In your opinion, it's easier for boys. That's what it is. All right. So, you know, I got another question for you, man. I'm gonna go back to that driving analogy. So I remember back in the day, Mom Duke, she's teaching me how to drive. And she said, son, one thing about driving, you want to look out for other people on the road, of course. And she said, you got to anticipate certain things. So just, you know, try to think ahead for certain things that may happen out there on the road. Keep your eye on the swivel or whatever. So with that being said, since we kind of related it to parenting a minute ago, in your parenting, do you think that a man or a parent has to have certain anticipatory skills?
It's most definite. And that's just in life.
Mm.
You have to be able to forecast what's to come. My mother had the uncanny ability. She used to prophesize things.
Okay.
You know, things that she would say, this is going to happen. And now that I reflect, all of those things that she talked about, a lot of them, most of them have come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just her being able to forecast and anticipate what's going on based on her past experiences, based on her understanding of who you are, and based on the problems that will come. So you have to be able to anticipate and forecast in order to raise a fruitful child, to raise a well-educated child.
Word up. I always do examples, man. You got an example of something that a parent should be able to forecast?
Yes. You know, I have a student right now that I was just talking to today. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And being an educator, maybe this doesn't seem likely that I would say this. But I have a young man right now who is going to be 17. He has, now mind you, it takes 24 credits to graduate.
Okay, yep.
He only has like 9.
Right.
So he's 17, roughly in the 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he has all left.
Wow.
Yet his mother, and he doesn't go to class, his mother has to anticipate his future.
Yeah.
Because if he were to anticipate, she would say, you know, school is not working out for him.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find another alternative for him to engage if he plans to be able to take care of himself. And that's the conversation we had.
Right.
But instead, she just sends him to school.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't communicate with the school. She doesn't say, hey, let's meet to see what options are out there for my son.
Right.
So what's going to happen to this young man? What I talked to him was about trends. I said, listen, you're trending here.
Right.
And what I would suggest to mom is that, hey, he needs to be somewhere working.
That's right.
Now, granted, he needs a high school diploma, but nothing he's going to do here is going to get him there.
Mm-hmm.
So take him somewhere to get a trade. Take him somewhere. Even if he were to go learn how to lay bricks from a master mason, he just has to do an apprenticeship style where you're going to learn this on the job.
That's right.
But that's what I mean by anticipating. She is lacking in her anticipation skills as to what his future is going to be.
Yeah. Yep. I think, shucks, I think some of it, she might be in denial, man.
It's no doubt.
And I guess that's something to throw out there to anybody listening. Hey, be realistic with yourself about your kids' abilities and who they are and how they're trending. Don't just get caught up in this is my baby or this is my little girl or whatever, and she's daddy's princess and mommy's king or whatever, and that be what makes you lose sight of what they're really up to and who they really are. Because that could be more harmful to their future than anything, because now you're aiding and abetting their nonsense.
Exactly. I mean, you nailed that right on the head. You have to know who your kids are and engage them from that standpoint. Not putting them on a pedestal, not kicking them down too low.
Right.
But here's who you are, and this is how I'm going to engage you. And that will enhance those anticipation skills.
All right, I hear what you're saying, man. We're going to keep this thing rolling, yo. So I hear a lot of different things pertaining to parenting. You know, people talk. They got all these catchphrases and stuff like that and rules to live by, if you want to call it that. And a lot of times when people got kids, they're being born or the kid makes it here and they're healthy and all that good stuff, whatever. And I've heard a parent say, one line in particular, I've heard a parent say, basically, they're talking out loud to their child, and they say something like, to my son or daughter, I got your back forever in life, no matter you right or wrong. What would you say to a statement like that?
That is probably one of the most dangerous statements you can make, and depending on how you make it.
Elaborate for us.
Man, I had a situation, it was today actually, I know I did a lot in this day, but I had a parent who called the school and she said, I want to report on my son. He broke into the cabinet at the school where they keep all of the snacks for games and stuff, and he stole all of these snacks from y'all.
Okay.
And I want to report that out. He's going to pay to replace everything that's stolen plus some. And also, he's going to come and apologize to you. And I wanted to make that known.
Wow.
Believe it or not, that would look like she's snitching on her son.
Right. That's what the streets would say.
Right. But she's actually riding for him, because what she's saying is, I love you, but I'm going to teach you right from wrong, and here's how we're going to do it. And down the road, hopefully that will pay off.
Right.
Now, if they're talking about riding like that, then you're saying the right thing. But if you're simply saying that no matter what you do, I'm going to ride for you and not expose the situation for what it is, then that's the wrong route to go. And I see a lot of that too.
Yeah, and that's really what the statement that I got that made me ask you the question, that's what I got from it, was that right or wrong, I'm a cover for you, and I'm not going to help you do better. I'm going to just ride with whatever mistakes you make. I'm going to just cover it and hold you down.
Right. That's one of the most wrong things a parent can ever do, because that's not parenting, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Parenting, you're putting the best product forward to carry on your namesake, so that when you are gone, a person is going to make a judgment based on that seed that you left behind. Right. And that's not the right way to develop and grow that seed.
Def. And man, I'm gonna tie that back to anticipation, man. Because like you said, if the mom calling the school, letting you know what the student did, blah, blah, blah. You said that she's looking down the road. The way it seems anyway, she's looking down the road at if I don't nip this in the bud now, down the road, my son will continue this behavior. And that will be what gives him in jail, potentially killed, or have a not so good future. So she's anticipating the potential of letting this go and what it could bring.
So that's how you rise for your children. Right,
absolutely.
By anticipating and planting the proper seed and saying, hey, I'm going to teach you right from wrong. Even if it's at your expense right now because you did wrong.
Yeah, because this is small potatoes. And, you know, not to diminish, you know, what he did, but it's small potatoes in the bigger scheme of what it could cost him down the road.
No doubt.
Because tomorrow, I think about this movie South Central.
I remember that.
You know that. So it could be, you know, 2 years from now, and that same kid, without trying to stop this behavior now, if she supported it, the same kid could be stealing radios out of cars. And then the guy comes out the house and shoots him in the back.
No doubt.
And guess what? Everybody will say they saw it coming. They anticipated this happening. And the problem is we can often see what the kid's future will be based on their, you know, current doings. Now, we could be wrong in most cases, but if we're taking the data that's in front of us, we can hypothesize what's going to happen down the road. So,
no doubt.
So that's anticipation. Based on the set of facts given, you make a hypothesis. It's all anticipation. So Mom Duke, she did the right thing in that. She said, listen, son, this is what we're going to do. And I'm trying to stop you now, because if I don't stop you now, sometime down the road, somebody else may stop you.
No question.
All right, good. So listen, we're going to take a break, y'all. We're going to be back in a sec. We're going to be back. We here. All that good stuff. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Give us a minute. What it is, what it is. We're back. We're still chopping it up. We're talking about things related to parenting, different things to look out for. We still got the good Dr. John McMillan on the show. We still here. So we're going to just keep talking, man. Asked you a question a second ago from the last segment. And I got another one for you, man. I hear this too. And it's I don't know, man. To me, it doesn't make too much sense, but we're gonna let you make some sense of it. So I've heard a lot of conversations. And parents often say something to the effect of, I'm going to give my child the world he or she won't want for anything. What do you think about that?
Man, that's another dangerous situation, because you got to educate that anything worth having is worth working for. There's nothing wrong with being able to provide for your kids and get them the finer things in life. But out of desire, you're challenged. And out of that challenge comes growth.
Mm.
So, you know, that's like saying, I don't want you to stretch your mind to figure out how to acquire these things for yourself.
Right.
So unless he or she's going to be there to provide for him for the rest of his life, that's definitely a dangerous outlook.
Yeah. Definitely. It seems like that may sap the person of their drive.
It's got to.
If I know mommy's gonna do it for me or daddy's gonna do it for me, why do I need to do it?
Why do I need to do it? And you want to build that mental fortitude and stick to itness, because though you may provide everything for him, is his wife gonna have that same mentality?
Yeah.
Is her husband gonna have that same mentality? How about when she needs something or he needs something that someone else is not going to provide? Will they have the wherewithal to get up and go get it? And you want to foster that in a child.
Definitely. All right. And that was my take on it, man, because it seemed to me to be rather crippling. Just the thought of I'm going to give you everything. And, you know, I'm sorry to be a black man out here. You know, the world seems to be unforgiving to us anyway, and we're expected to make everything happen. That sort of thing. And just being black, period, just is a challenge. So to have somebody in front of you, a child, and you say, I'm going to give you everything. You know, children don't often they don't take data and make the right decisions with it. So they might come up with the mindset of, well, if my mom's going to give me everything, then the world is going to give me everything.
No doubt.
And let's just say when you turn 18, Mom Dukes passes away.
Come on.
You're 22, Mom Dukes passes away. And you haven't gained any skills, any knowledge, any knowledge whatsoever how to do for yourself because Mom always did for you. Where does that leave the child?
Stuck. That's where it leaves them.
Right.
Stuck. You know, so like you said, you just got to foster that drive. I mean, how else is that individual going to be driven if he's just being provided for right. on a constant basis?
No doubt. It's like a kid. It's like a small kid. I mean, you know, obviously a small kid, he or she doesn't know how to do anything for him or herself. But along the way, you start teaching them how to do things for themselves so that way they can do it for themselves. And it doesn't stop with just, you know, teaching the kid how to walk or how to eat with a fork or something like that. You know, it's everything. So I'm with you on that wholeheartedly, man. There's no way in the world that even if you are rich, man, I even see some of these famous people. I think Shaq says something. Shaquille O'Neal said something recently to the effect of, you know, as kids, to some degree, going to have to get out there and get it.
That's right.
And
Floyd Mayweather said the same thing, believe it or not.
Word.
He said that I'm at the point now where they can come and work in one of my businesses and generate their own wealth. But as far as me just handing them money, which I could do it forever.
Right.
But I'm handing them money, they're spending through it, and then they're back for more. Mm-hmm. So he's just changing his whole line of thinking on that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't teach you anything. Yo, man, we already know, man, when stuff is given to somebody, they don't appreciate it.
They don't appreciate it.
So if you just if you're just gonna hand me $100,000 and I didn't have to do anything other than 15 seconds of coming to ask mommy or daddy for $100,000, I'm gonna blow it.
I'm gonna spend it.
Don't have anything to show for it, and I'm gonna come back again and get another $100,000 and go blow that too.
Blow that too.
And it's unfortunate that the mindset of people, you know, it's like that. Think about education. You know, we're educators. We've done the thing. We do it. Think about education, man. Before education was guaranteed to our people, when it was restricted, wasn't allowed, just remember how our people coveted education?
They coveted it.
Man.
They coveted it.
Yeah.
I just read a while back, I think it was the Frederick Douglass narrative, and Up from Slavery, Booker T. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they talked about, these individuals who were once slaves being introduced to education
right.
and the thirst that they had
right.
in acquiring that knowledge because it was forbidden for them to have it.
That's right.
And now, like I said, being in the education system, students, a lot of students, especially a lot of African-American students, want to walk around the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even sit still for 90 minutes to receive a lesson. So,
right.
so when you have to fight for something and work for something, definitely there's more of appreciation for it as far as I'm concerned.
It's no question. I mean, I've seen it. I agree with it. And I was just thinking about, I was watching this Black History Month, whatever. I was watching a documentary on the formation of HBCUs.
Mm.
And you know the struggles they had, you know, we know the struggles they had. Anyway, man, they were doing sit-ins, taking over buildings, just all to fight for their education, man. They were in buildings that didn't have heat, didn't have air conditioning. They down in the basement.
Yep.
Still trying to receive that education.
Yep.
There was another cat, I wish I remember who it was, but they said, you know, everybody had to have the same access to the education. Well, they gave him access to the education, but he had to sit outside the classroom. All of the white kids, this was a college, I'm not saying, all of the white kids were in the classroom, and this brother had to sit outside the classroom. But guess what? He did it, though, and he got his education. He fought for it. So yeah, man, definitely I like that because, like I said, man, a lot of people out here, they talking about giving their kids everything, and they don't know that they're crippling them. So anybody out there, yo, make sure you make your kids work for something. You'll teach them some things and let them get their hands dirty, man. They got to do it. It's going to build character. It's going to move them forward going forward. That's it, man. Well, listen, Doc, we about to end it, man. It's almost over. You want to leave us with some final thoughts before we get out of here? You got something to leave us with?
I sure do. I'm glad you gave me that opportunity, man. Once again, thank you for this platform. This content, people need this. I need it. We all need it. So keep it coming. For the parents out there, before you decide that you want to be a parent, here's some things you need to take into consideration.
Okay.
Am I ready to be a parent? Emotionally, physically, financially? Do I have a home for this child? Do I have a vehicle for this child? Do I have health insurance for this child? Do I have the fundamental elements to raise this child? Do I have the desire? There's some people with children who never intended to have those children.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have these things on your checklist before you venture out and create a whole new person? Think about those things, and that's what I want to leave you with.
Word, that's powerful. Well, listen, Doc, we're going to close it out right now while you're here, man. Hey, listen, this is another episode of Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We got the good Dr. John McMillan on the show. We want to thank Hindsight Media Radio for making this happen for us, putting it together. Also, hit that website, RyanHodgeBooks.com, for all your reading needs. And, hey, yo, my other episodes of the podcast is cataloged on that website. So hit RyanHodgeBooks.com and check us out. We out of here, yo. Until next time, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Later.